World War One on the BBC.
From the station to the Élysée, the cheering never stops. Vive la France! Vive la République! Vive le président!
29th of July. The French president, Raymond Poincaré, arrives back in France with his prime minister from his state visit to Russia. They have a lot of catching up to do. While they're at sea, Austria-Hungary has declared war on Serbia. It is now up to Russia, Serbia's friend and France's closest ally, to react. Poincaré writes in his diary that the mood in France has changed.
Here was a united France. Political quarrels are forgotten. How far away the Caillou affair seems now.
Poincaré does not inform his government in detail, or his beloved diary, what he and the Russians have said to each other about the European crisis. But it's clear that he hopes Russia will stand up to Austria-Hungary if it attacks Serbia, and to Germany as well, if necessary. In Berlin, concerns are growing about Russian military preparations. If Russia is mobilizing, the Germans need to follow suit quickly. Their war plans depend on knocking France out first and then turning on their enemy to the east. The German ambassador, Count Portalis, is sent to warn the Russians.
If Russia continues her military preparation, even if she does not proceed to full mobilization, Germany will find herself compelled to mobilize.
But he's come at a bad time. The Russian foreign minister, Sergei Sazanov, is angry. He's just heard reports that Austria-Hungary has begun shelling Belgrade.
Now I have no more doubt about the true causes of Austrian intransigence.
Because of Russia's size, it takes longer than either Germany or Austria-Hungary to get its forces in place. So far, Russia is only confronting the latter, over Serbia. But the Russian plans call for mobilization along their whole front, with Austria-Hungary and with Germany. Shortly after 9 p.m., Sazanov phones a reluctant Tsar and gets his permission for Russia's general mobilization. Just as the orders are being typed up, the Tsar gets a telegram from his cousin, the Kaiser. It's written in English, the language they usually use with each other.
Nikki, I share your wish that peace should be maintained. It would be quite possible for Russia to remain a spectator of the Austro-Serbian conflict without involving Europe in the most horrible war she ever witnessed. Willie.
The Tsar is moved. In his longing to avert war, he calls off full mobilization.
Everything possible must be done to save the peace. I will not become responsible for a monstrous slaughter.
His war minister tries to talk him out of it.
Mobilization is not a mechanical process which one can arrest at will, as one can a wagon, and then set in motion again.
Yet the Tsar stands firm, and by 10 p.m. mobilization has been halted. War has been avoided, for the time being. Thank you for downloading this program from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/ww1.